Good morning. Sometimes it gets really hard to get up here after singing praises to our God and be coherent. When I find there are times when I worship through song that my soul becomes welled up and I just am not sure what's going to happen inside of me, because it isn't me. And this morning was one of those times for me. I appreciate all the work that goes into what these folks do and those folks back there. And it is a joy to be able to sing praises to our God and to worship Him in song, in the opportunities that He provides us to give, in the opportunities that He provides us to do life together. It's all a worship experience, is it not? This morning, I want to talk about God, my Father. And this kind of came out of a couple of different avenues for me. We have been going through the picture of the doctrine that is the foundation for our belief system. You know, Ken started a few weeks ago talking about how we look at doctrine so as not to divide, but to unify and to unite. And we also looked at, Scott talked about Jesus' return, His coming back. And John talked about the Trinity and the importance of the Godhead. And I thought it would be great to talk about God the Father. Who is God the Father? Why God the Father? And of course, it's Father's Day as well. You know, there's something interesting that I found in Scripture as I was thinking about just preparing a message on Father's Day and talking to fathers and using a biblical example of a godly father in the Bible, and there really aren't many. And it's kind of interesting when you stop and think about that. Why? Why wouldn't God give us examples of biblical fathers throughout Scripture? Because there are a number of fathers talked about, but usually it's all about the stupid things they did. I mean, I thought, well, we could talk about Abraham, right? He was a man who followed God, but he was going to sacrifice his son, Isaac. How do you build a message around that and not get off the rails? Then I thought, well, you could talk about Jacob and his sons, and here's a man who loved his sons, but he loved one more than the others, right? That might be a problem as well. And then there's Joseph, the father of Jesus, but he traveled on a trip and left Jesus and turned around, went home, and realized halfway home that Jesus wasn't with him. I've learned that from experience. That can happen. But I did think there are pictures in the Bible of what is a godly father. And they all really point to God the Father. And I am convinced that that is the reason that we don't have men as examples. Because especially as men, we'd get out the list and we'd start checking them off. Okay, I'm doing that, I'm doing this, I'm paying attention like he did. But when we have a perfect standard, which is God our Father, it gives us something to look at, something to pay attention to, and hopefully something that we can all glean from today. You know, as we honor our fathers today. I think it is important. The scripture tells us that we are to honor our fathers and our mothers. And as we think about that, as we do these things, I want you to just walk with me through these different passages. Today is going to be a Bible drill. We aren't going to spend a lot of time in necessarily one place, but there are just a lot of verses that encourage us of who God the Father is. And I think our tendency to elevate man above God is something that we continually have to fight against. We have to work on. I think also it's important for us as fathers to realize that there's only one hope we have to be a godly father, and that's through the power of his strength. I can't do this. I can't do what God has called me to do as a father apart from his help. And our propensity, our drive to follow rules rather than relationships. As I look back over my life as a father, I see that in me. And it drives me nuts at this stage of life. But there were times in my life that it was so much easier for me to do that I fell back to following rules rather than the relationships with my children. And for that, it hurts me, as I'm sure it did them at the time as well. So as we talk about fathers, as we look at our godly father, I want to look at the outline first and talk about what we're going to look at this morning. First, is fatherhood really important? And you say, well, you just spent a few minutes talking about why we're honoring fathers today. Shouldn't it be important? Well, let's look through that. The importance of why God has called himself, and Jesus refers to God the Father, why that's important to us. I think it's vitally critical for us to understand just that picture of God the Father. And then I want to spend the majority of our time talking about some of the characteristics of God our Father. What is it that God is? Who is God the Father? And how can that help us as dads? And then what can we learn from our Heavenly Father? So let's pray and just ask the Lord's help on our time this morning. Father, we come before you this morning thanking you for your gift of eternal life. The things that we sang about this morning, the importance of that blessed assurance, the need that we have to have a father. And Father, I pray this morning that you open the eyes of our hearts to see you, to be amazed at you. Lord God, we thank you and we praise you for who you are. We pray this morning that you would reveal more of yourself to us as we are gathered here around your word. We thank you for your word. We bless your name because of your word. And we ask that you glorify yourself this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So is fatherhood important? What does society tell us? The entertainment industry. Is there any reason for a man to be involved in a child's life from what we see in society? I would venture to say no. The culture has convinced us that children are as well off, if not better, without a dad, that moms can do it all. The sad part is I think there's a lot of dads that are okay with that. I think it is easy for us as dads to acquiesce our role as fathers and hand it to the mom. And moms will do it. But the entertainment industry shows dads to be irrelevant, doesn't it? Look at the movies you see around us. Look at the sitcoms. Dad is always the butt of the joke, if he's there. And it doesn't teach us what a true father should be or what we need to do as dads to change that. So don't look at the world for your source of information on how to be a good dad, how to be a good father. Whatever you see in the world, think, I'll bet it's opposite of that. The other reason that the world tells us that dads are not important is because the enemy wants to destroy. Satan wants to destroy families. He wants to destroy the next generation. He wants to destroy those who are most vulnerable in our world today. And the easiest way for him to accomplish that is to destroy the family, to destroy the role of fatherhood. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, 1 in 4 children do not have a father at home. That's a powerful statistic. And depending on what you read, there are ranges all over the place of the men or women in prison, how many of them grew up without a father figure. Now, why do I bring this up? Because it's depressing, right? I'm just trying to guilt you into doing something. No. But it gives us a great opportunity as a church to be a dad to those who maybe don't have one at home, to be that father figure. So if you're not a father today, and you have the opportunity to minister to another young boy's life who doesn't have a dad at home, take it. Use that for God's glory. We also see it in the church. We see absentee fathers in the church. We see dads who may be physically present but are checked out. We see dads who are not involved in their children's lives. We have an opportunity to encourage one another. We see in our society today a push to blend or meld men and women into nothingness or a whole bunch of things that aren't men and women. The world is trying to feminize men in a way that causes us to not be fathers, but to act more like mothers. Please don't misunderstand. Mothers are vitally critical, and they are necessary. And women are to be honored, adored, and appreciated. But men are not to become women. Men are different than women for a reason. And as we walk through the text this morning, hopefully we see some of this and we begin to understand some of this. So we see that even a lot in the church tells us that maybe fathers aren't all that necessary. When we see the example, when we see what is going on in the churches and in society. But what does God tell us? What does his word tell us? Jesus relied heavily on his father, didn't he? He did so much without his father, he would not have known where to turn next. And I use that term in his human sense. Obviously, Jesus, being God, would have known what to do next because he was given that direction. But in his human sense, everything he did while on earth, he did under the authority of his Father. He did for the glory of his Father. He asked his Father, what is next? God places a definite importance on the fathers. So much so that he even promises in Psalm 68:5 to be a father to the fatherless. A protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. Think about that. God promises to be the father to the fatherless. So do you think dads are important? That he promises to fill that void if men don't step up and do what God has called them to do as fathers. I would say that's pretty important. I couldn't find a verse that says he promises to be a mother to the motherless. But they are vitally important as well. But I think there's a distinction in that men give up too easily on these things. Can I just stop for a minute? I want to recognize Bernie. Bernie, it is so great to see you. Praise the Lord. That just blesses my heart. So God, our Father, recognizes the importance of having a father. That he promised to be that father. If you don't have a father, he will be there for you. As I was saying, I think men, we have a tendency to be able to check out from family life, to not be there when we're needed. When times get hard, when things get relationally difficult, maybe I can explain this better by sharing my life experience. It was easy for me when times got difficult during the teenage years to fall back to rules. And I became the enforcer. I was the one who made sure that everybody did what mom said. It was easy for me to fall into that role. Moms, I think by nature, and again, this is a generality, so there are exceptions. Please take it for what it's intended, just a general statement. But moms generally don't check out. They are typically more concerned with the relationships in the family. Is everybody getting along? How are we all doing emotionally? I've said before, I'm not an emotionally warm and fuzzy kind of guy. Those things don't typically concern me. It takes the power of God to make those things concern me. As we think about that, it's not that God doesn't care about mothers. He knows they're vitally important. And he knows that he's put within them a desire to nurture their children. I've always said growing up, as I was growing up as a dad, I'm so glad that I had a daughter first. Two of them, actually, before I had a son. Because I know if I'd have had a son first, he'd be, you know, 6 months old, able to hold his head up and maybe sit up, and we'd be out there doing football drills. You know, he gets to 1 year old and he's walking around. I say, okay, son, hit that tree. No, shake it off. You're okay. That's my tendency. I want to build this rough and tumble monster following after me, right? That can do all sports and do all things well. And it taught me, having daughters, that there's a tender side to being a father. And I think as we walk through these passages, that's what we're going to see from God. For his children, God is tender. It's interesting, though, when you look at all this and we're placing all this importance on the idea of fatherhood, that Matthew 23:9 says, "And call no man your father on earth, for you have one Father who is in heaven." Fatherhood is also something that we need to be careful that we don't abuse the authority that we have been given in that role. It's not something that we place ourselves in a superior position to anyone else. We're all God's children. And that passage that I read speaks of that. If you read the whole thing in context, it's talking about the importance of not elevating someone to a position that they shouldn't have. Not that fathers aren't to be honored, but they aren't to be elevated above mom, above, I would venture to say, the children. We are all in the family together. Each has different responsibilities and roles. But when you look at us on a plane in our family, compared to God the Father, we are all equal. God the Father is the master. And we have been given a role as dads that we take that we use that role in a way that honors God and for his good and for our children's good. Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise." We should just stop right there, right? We're all happy now. Children, do your work. Honor your parents. Obey your parents. Let's stop there. But it goes on and it says, "But fathers, do not provoke your children to anger." I tell you, I learned how to do that. And I didn't have to be taught. It just comes out of my mouth. I can say those things that can anger my children. "But bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Wow. What a contrast. Bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. What a tall order, guys. It doesn't say that to mothers, does it? It says fathers. Bring your children up this way in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And I think this is a picture of God the Father sending his Son to the earth to become man. Dads, we need to understand our children, because let's face it, we're just bigger children, right? Ask your wife, she'll tell you. We need to be able to relate to our children and help them to understand God's discipline and God's instruction. And we need to transmit that to them in a way that communicates to them that they can understand. So I want to talk about the importance of fatherhood, God being our Father. God our Father is always there for us. He is the perfect Father. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 says, "And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty." Think about that for a minute. We Brothers and sisters, if you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, if you know who He is, you are a child of God Almighty. Wow. What a place of privilege we have. You know, most religions in the world today worship a God who is far off. Most religions today worship, whether they be idols, whether they be pieces of stone, they worship someone, something who is distant. Our God is a Father. He has a relationship with us. He has made us a part of His family. And you realize the importance of that as we look at this. As we understand who God is, He is relational. He wants us to be a part of His family. You know, there's just sometimes nothing better than a dad hug. I know that I have that power with my children. There have been times in my early, well, in the course of being a dad, where I've seen the effect of just my voice on my children. When my children are in turmoil, when there's something going on in their lives, and they hear my voice, it can actually cause them to break down and cry. And as the emotional dunderhead that I am, what? What's that going on? But as I've become a grandpa, I start to understand just the comfort of a dad hug, a grandpa hug, the comfort of a tender, loving relationship from a man is important to all of us. I still love to hug my dad. Now, he's not the same guy he used to be when I was this tall, because he's gotten older and I've gotten bigger. But I still enjoy those hugs. God our Father also molds us into the image of His Son. Isaiah 64:8 says, "But now, O Lord, You are our Father. We are the clay, and You are the potter. We are all the work of Your hand." Dads, are you molding your children into the image of God the Father? Or are you molding your children into the image of God the Me? We want to do that, don't we? Without help from the Father in heaven, we want to mold our children into being just like me. Yeah, they're chip off the old block. We want to see them grow up and get straight A's in school, quarterback, star of the football team, all league. Okay, they can play baseball too. That's our desire, isn't it? Hebrews 12:7 says, It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom the Father does not discipline? Dads, this isn't a free-for-all. Raising children is hard work. And I would venture to say that's why God never sleeps. Okay, He doesn't have to either, but He doesn't sleep. Sometimes, Dad, you got to stay up late. Or you got to get up early and you'd be praying for those children. You'd be praying for them. You'd be teaching them. You step in and discipline when you see things are going the wrong way. One of the things that I believe, and I hope my kids know now, the quickest way to light dad up was to disrespect their mother. If I saw that, it was, get out of my way, I'm coming. Because that's one thing that I didn't tolerate with my children. That was a matter of discipline, to show respect to their mother. And I think, dads, we often miss the boat. When we see children disrespecting their mother, it sets a poor example. And I think we see it playing out in our world today. The lack of respect that we have for one another as people. The things that are going on in our society today, I think oftentimes stem from the difficulty we have as dads disciplining our children and pointing them to God. Because if every one of us in this room, children included, understood the value of every human in God's eyes, there couldn't be the things that we see going on in our world today. But there is one who's out to destroy and divide. But that's not God. We also need to realize that God doesn't change. Our Father doesn't change. He is the same. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow due to change. You know, you think about that. Even the shadow doesn't change. That means the sun stands still. Isaiah 32:17 says, the effect of righteousness will be peace, and the result of righteousness, quietness and trust forever. Think about that. Dads, we have the ability in righteousness to bring peace. We need to stand up and say things when we see something going wrong. We need to stand up and say that's not right, and stand up for the weak. Stand up for the oppressed. Dads, do you bring quietness and trust to your family? You have that ability through the power of God to bring peace, to bring quietness and trust. What a joy to be able to do that in our families. The well-placed hug, the well-placed words of encouragement, good job, son, good job, daughter. The well-thought-out opportunities that he provides as we walk through life day to day. So how do we do this? It just seems impossible. But as we look to our Father, I want to spend some time focused on some of the characteristics of God the Father and give us the opportunity to see how we can be better dads through that, and how each of us, as we know our Father better, can understand what he's called us to be. Our Father is our creator, it says in Malachi 2:10. Have we not all one Father? Has one God created us? Why then are we faithless to one another, profaning the covenant of our fathers? God created us, God the Father. Fathers, we also have a role in creation. We are part of the process that God has chosen for us to have children. We are there when it happens. No matter what anybody tells you, you're part of the process. As such, Do we realize that that creation is part of God's gift to us? Isaiah 40, 28 also talks about God the Father being a God of creation. The Father, our Father is over all. Ephesians 4, 6 says, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. Can't hide from that, can you? You know the fun part about being a dad? Is sometimes kids just lead you right to the place where you have the opportunity, when they're younger, okay, to make them think that you know everything. If you're in that place, dads, live there. Enjoy it. Because it changes. But God the Father is over all. Can I communicate to my children that they are safe if I am over all? Can I communicate to my children that as their protector, I am there for them? And as we think about all these things, I got to tell you, it was in some ways miserable for me, realizing the failures as a father in my life. But hopefully, as you spend time thinking through these things and realizing that we have a Father who is these things, who lives this in our lives, what a joy it gives us. And as I was in the pit of that despair of failure, God just washed over me the joy of being His child and saying, you know, son, I know you weren't perfect, but you used the tools that I gave you, and you're still not done. So let's continue on. Our Father is compassion. Psalm 103:13 says, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Describing his role as God is being compassionate like a father. Do I display that compassion to my children? Do I help them to understand that? Our Father is a giver of good gifts. As one who likes to give gifts, I don't spend enough time thinking about those gifts to make sure that they're good. Sometimes I just like to give them a gift. Here you go. No. Is it a good gift? Again, James 1:17, which we read earlier, talks about it. The Father is our Redeemer, it says in Psalm 63:16, for you are our Father through Abraham. Though Abraham doesn't know us and Israel does not acknowledge us, you, O Lord, are our Father. Our Redeemer from of old is your name. And as we were singing that song earlier, this I know, there is a Redeemer. It just washed over me the importance of realizing that God my Father is also my Redeemer. He sent the Son to die in my place that I might have newness of life. Dads, are you modeling that for your children? Are you sharing that with your children, with those around you? Do they understand that you are also there to stand in the gap for them? For that's kind of what Redeemer means, right? To stand in the gap for, to pay the penalty for. Sometimes as dads, we need to step in and say, daughter, you may have really messed up right here. And it's going to be okay. I'm going to take care of this. I am going to stand in your place and take care of that. As we think about our Father as a Redeemer, He is holy. Our Father is holy. It says in Psalm 99, "Exalt the Lord our God. Worship at His footstool. He is holy." Revelation talks about the holiness of God, the Father, right? Holy, holy, holy. Dads, do we display God's holiness? God calls us to be holy. I don't like to think about those things because it causes me to realize my failures. But yet, God the Father is also my Redeemer. The balance of those two is so vital as dads. We need to exalt God, worship Him at His footstool because He is holy. Do my children see me worshiping my God? Do they see me at church? Do they see me at home worshiping God? Some other characteristics of God, our Father is our comforter. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Folks, are we comforters? Do you realize that we have been forgiven much? That in our affliction we are comforted? We are given hope through God our Father. Do we communicate that out to others? Are we able to comfort those others who are in affliction? And it's interesting in this passage, it says, He comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. Interesting twist on that. It isn't, you know, we often say, well, I went through that so I can relate and I can give you comfort through that. It doesn't say that they're going through the same affliction you are. Says that you should be able to comfort any affliction. There are a lot of hurting people around us. There are a lot of people in chronic pain, for example. Physical pain can make us miserable. If you don't believe me, get a toothache. And that can be temporary. There are people who live in chronic pain. How can we comfort them if we have never known chronic pain? I don't know, but God says we can. He gives us the ability in the moment. He provides the opportunity for us to do that. Our Father is our provider. He provides for our needs. Matthew 6:26 talks about the birds of the air, right? They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Isn't it interesting that He doesn't identify Himself as the birds' heavenly Father? He is your heavenly Father, provides for the birds. Won't He also provide for you? Our Father is our correction. Proverbs 3:11-12 says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of His reproof, for the Lord reproves him whom He loves, as a father the son in whom he delights." So the question is, Do we delight in our children enough to correct them, enough to reprove them? Do we show them the way of God our Father? The Father is almighty. By this time, as I was putting this together, I had a big smile on my face. Our Father is almighty. There is no one who can defeat him. As we think about that, what a joy that should bring to us. Mark 14:36. And he uses the phrase Abba Father in that passage, where Jesus is crying out to the Father and asking him to remove the cup if it's possible. But yet, not my will, but yours. And we could read through the whole book of 1 John and talk about God's love, our Father's love for us. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Are you surprised that the world is in turmoil today? The world doesn't know him, the Father of love. But we don't have that excuse. We know the Father of love, and we are his children. In this is love, verse 10 in chapter 4. Not that we have loved God, but that he loves us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. He loved us so much that he sent his Son Jesus to die in our place. Love is sacrificial. Dads, are we sacrificially loving our families? And it's easy for us to pull out the ones that, well, yeah, I work 95 hours this week to provide. And I can fall into that trap as easy as anybody. I made a rule when I was doing well in my career that if I ever started having too much fun at work, I went home. And you may laugh and think, what? But there are some of us that are wired that we can have fun at work. We thrive on doing, and if we get to that point, it's time to go home. Enjoy your family. There's something more important than working 80 hours a week. So what can we learn from our Heavenly Father? I saved the Deuteronomy verse to last, okay? Next to last, maybe. We teach our children about our Heavenly Father. And Deuteronomy 6 talks about this, that we teach them as we sit down. You know, I've tried to make a habit of thinking through this. Okay, I'm sitting down. What am I going to teach? I'm walking. What am I going to teach? But fathers, we need to be about that. What are we teaching our children? Am I teaching them about my Heavenly Father? How to show compassion to our children? God the Father teaches us how to show compassion by giving to them, by loving on them, by encouraging them. And men, are you doing anything apart from the power of your amazing God? Jesus didn't. Jesus required approval from the Father before he did anything. I ought to have that same attitude as I raise my children. And I think most importantly, as a dad, am I showing my children how amazing my God is? how amazing he is. This is probably the biggest struggle I've had as a dad, is being able to effectively communicate to my children how amazing my God is. As I had this all kind of wrapped up yesterday, I was done, I was on the mower, meditating and listening to a book, and I was struck by how amazing God is, how worthy of our awe our God is, our Father is. Isaiah chapter 40, and I'd encourage you, spend some time and just read through that chapter two or three times. Spend time there. Verse 3 says, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level and the rough places plain. The glory and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Men, do you have an awe for that God who is able to raise valleys and lower mountains, make the way smooth? And it goes on in verse 9, it says, go up on a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news, lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem. Herald the good news, lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. Can you picture that? God the Father gathering up his lambs. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. What a picture of our Father who measures the waters in the hollow of his hands and marked off the heavens with a span and closed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales. In the hills in a balance. Who has measured the Spirit of the Lord, or what is man, or what man shows him his counsel? What did he consult, and who made him understand? Who taught him in the paths of justice and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and accounted as the dust on the scales. Behold, he takes up the coastlands like fine dust. And as he closes out the chapter, he says this, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary. I know, moms and dads, sometimes you really doubt that. That the young people in your life will grow weary. Or tired, but they will. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Father, we thank you this morning that you are that God that you are almighty, that you are everlasting, that you are the creator of all, and that you have not left us hopeless. For you promise to give the weak strength. You promise to be with the weary. And God, you are our Father. You love us. You hold us in your bosom when we're distressed. You give us strength. And Father, we just ask you that we may know that strength, that we may walk with you in the power of that strength. Lord God, we know that being a father is not just biology, that you have made us to be a picture of you to our children. Father, I confess I am a weak picture, but nonetheless, you want me to be there for my children. Father, I pray that you would give us strength to accomplish all that you've called us to do. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.